Hello, this is Mark with the webmaster for beyondvibration.org. I'm here with Diana Roth to discuss the subject of compassion. Diana, what would you like to say about compassion?
Hi, Mark, and thanks for doing this for me. This audio is going to be about compassion, what it is, what it is not, suggestions for ways to show compassion and help that you may not have thought of, and why it is so important that each of us show compassion for those that need it. There may be parts of this audio that you do not agree with, but I encourage you to listen to the entire audio because I believe it will help you with regard to understanding what true compassion is. You hear a lot of talk about the need for compassion for all species on Earth, but rarely is it talked about in the context of what real compassion is. About what is real compassion and what is artificial compassion. Most of what humans feel compassion is really isn't compassion at all. It is wonderful if you have money to donate to organizations to help others in need. The only human-based organization that I contribute to is Doctors Without Borders, the winners of the 1999 Nobel Peace Prize, because I know that they treat those in need regardless of their political and or religious views. They treat everyone the same, which is how compassion should be. We saw the ugly head of relief organizations during the Haitian earthquake. Since the United States controlled the airport, they controlled which organizations got to land. Then the aid was held at the airport for weeks. Doctors Without Borders tried to land two mobile hospitals within the first 24 hours and were denied landing because they were a French-based organization and the U.S. ones were given priority. Now, Doctors Without Borders was already working in Haiti and knew where to put the hospitals and intended to put two other ones in outlying areas of Port-au-Prince, where no one was going. In the end, they had to truck two of the hospitals overland from the Dominican Republic over very difficult roads. It was very dangerous. All the while, many, many people died that did not need to. This is but one example of how the concept of compassion can be corrupted to suit the needs of the have while the have-nots suffer. Compassion should not come with strings attached. There are many environmental and or other species-based related charities as well. Personally, I belong to the Sea Shepherd Society because Captain Paul Watson knows no fear, nor is he political in how he helps the ocean species. I have great respect for people that donate their time to help on the Sea Shepherds. That is real compassion. Other groups that I belong to are the National Resources Defense Council, World Wildlife Fund, Goose Creek Wildlife Sanctuary, which is a small all-volunteer wildlife rehabilitation group that is always struggling for money to feed and house wildlife, the National Wildlife Federation Backyard Habitat Program. My yard is a registered backyard wildlife sanctuary and a few others. During times of crisis, I donate to the National Humane Society and NOAA's Ark because I know they are equipped to provide immediate response to help animals after these disasters. So many people feel that they show compassion to the earth by sending out love and light to everything. This sounds good, but in fact, it does nothing to really address the physical needs of Earth on Earth. It does not help a mother in Somalia who is watching her children die of starvation. You can't eat love and light. It is something that one does sitting in their living room chair and requires nothing physical from that person. It is selfish. It is a pop-out. It does nothing to teach children how to show compassion to their fellow humans and other species on Earth. In fact, it teaches them that it's acceptable not to do physical things to assist others. Just in case you believe that this is not important, you may find, much to your dismay, that they have no compassion for you as you become elderly and are quite happy to put you in a substandard care facility where they don't visit or keep up with your increasing health and medical needs. They will just send you love and light. After all, this is how you taught them as they were growing up. This will come back to bite you in the ass at some point. Now, I come to the part of the audio where I want to talk about the elderly and how they are treated in society. In the ancient times, an elderly person was seen to be a wise elder and was revered for the knowledge they had acquired over many years of their life. This is not how the elderly are viewed in modern society. It seems as though the young and or wealthy would just prefer the low-income seniors just either go away or die. That way they don't have to waste their time or money helping them. In my opinion, you can judge a society by how it treats its young, elderly, and chronically ill. I realize that most of you are thinking to yourself, I don't have any money to donate to these charities, or I already give to my church and they help elderly members. I can remember the way my own mother was treated when she became too old to attend church anymore and could not afford to give the church money. Now, I remind you, she had given them thousands of dollars over her lifetime. Well, they abandoned her. Preacher didn't call. He didn't offer to come to the house to give her communion. The members that she thought were her friends dropped her like a hot potato. No more money, no more church. I know it was a great eye-opener for her. I had told her that this was going to happen beforehand, but she didn't believe me. Organized religion is about power, money, and who has the biggest building. On that note, I would ask you, what would Jesus do? Not that. He never preached in the church. He tended to the infirm, including lepers who had a contagious disease, fed the hungry, and preached out in the open. He never asked for anything in return. Now that is compassion. There are so many elderly people that are homebound and live alone. A few of the more fortunate ones are able to have a companion animal to make their lives more tolerable and certainly far less lonely. A younger, more mobile person cannot understand the connection that these elderly people have to these animals. They simply will not abandon the animal. If they have to eat pet food in order to be able to afford to feed their animals, they will and not complain about it. I live in Florida, and I know they simply will not evacuate before an oncoming hurricane and leave those pets behind. They stay in their trailers with their animals and die. It was due to the fact that this happened during Hurricane Charley that officials saw that they had to provide safe shelters for the animals and humans at the same place. A lot of hotels and motels began to allow pets during evacuations. Of course, if an elderly person doesn't have any money for food, they don't have money for a motel. Many do not drive, so they're simply forgotten about. I know you're asking yourself, what can I do to help an elderly person? I don't have much money or I don't have any money. Here are a few suggestions. Check on your elderly neighbor every couple of days to make sure they're doing okay. Make sure they have your telephone numbers for both landline and cell in case of emergency, and that you have emergency contact numbers for them so you can notify the person they need notified in case of emergency. mow their grass when you mow yours, so they don't have to try and find someone to do it or have to pay money they don't have to have it done. If your teenager mows your grass, have him mow theirs as well. It's a good lesson in compassion. Sitting in a house alone, even with a pet, all day, day after day, sucks. People no longer visit because the person is unable to walk any distance, is wheelchair-bound, isn't able to do things their so-called friend likes to do. These friends are selfish and not concerned with compassion at all. If these people were friends, they would understand how important human contact is. Don't be one of these so-called friends. Take them some food from time to time. If you're grilling outside, add an extra bit so you can take them a plate of food. You have no idea how much this means to an elderly person. It is the gesture, not the food, that is important. Make sure they have a way to get food and medicine they need. Take them with you to the grocery store on the weekend so they can buy their food. Tell them to call you if they need to pick up medicine and have no way to get it. Be sure to check on them during flu season if they can go downhill in a matter of hours. And teach your children not to make fun of them or do things to their property out of spite because they're old. If you don't teach your children to respect the elderly, they won't respect you when you're elderly. When you have a few extra dollars, buy them flowers or a basket of live flowers so they can put outside the home you brought it up. They're quite cheap in those grocery stores and are a great way to give them joy that somebody thought of them. If you walk your dog, walk theirs at the same time. If you have to evacuate ahead of a storm, make room for them and their animals, or at the very least, make sure that they get to a shelter along with their animals. And make sure that they have their vaccination record and a carrier to keep the animal in. Teach your children that a disability is not something to be made fun of. They need to understand that a person with a disability would rather be normal than to have to deal with being disabled. Chronically ill people are pretty much swept under the rug in this society. There is a large group of people that view the chronically ill as being diseased, as in it is their fault because they're not balanced. The poppycock feeling, what a cop-out that is. It makes the one that is so-called well feel superior to the sick person by blaming the sick person for their illness. It is wrong. It is mean. It is downright stupid to entertain this concept. Oh, there are plenty of people out there that subscribe to this belief. But what a bunch of non-compassionate individuals. Wait until they get a chronic illness that they cannot fix. Those are just a few of the many things you can do to help an elderly or disabled or sick person. What you do may well make the difference between whether they are able to stay in their home or have to go into a nursing home. What I talk about the elderly applies to chronic illnesses and disabilities. These two groups are not looked upon favorably either in our selfish society. There are a few things that you can do to help others without having to donate anything other than your time. Here's a few examples. Help out at a soup kitchen or shelter. Volunteer at your local humane society or local wildlife rehabilitation center. Foster animals if you're able to. Be a mentor to a child. Most schools have mentoring programs. Some employers even give time off if you are going to do a mentoring in school. All you give is time and some patience. If your children make good grades, they can mentor students that are having a hard time with the school curriculum. It can make the difference between a child dropping out of school or staying to get their diploma. It shows these at-risk children that other students do care about them. Be a big brother or big sister to an in-need child. you can serve as a possible role model and be there for them in ways that many parents aren't. And if you have a teenage child that thrives, they can be a big brother or big sister. Many colleges require a certain amount of volunteer hours for admission, so this helps in several ways. Know the phone number of your nearest wildlife rehabilitation center in case you need to report an injured animal or baby bird that has been abandoned by its parents. Make a yard of many wildlife refuge, as planting trees and plants to provide cover, allow places for them to nest and raise their young, plant wildflowers in your garden to attract hummingbirds, butterflies, and bees, and provide water, both in bird baths and on the ground for the critters that can't get up to the bird bath. This is a great thing about wildflowers. They don't need to be fertilized, and you sure don't do any pesticides. If you see a butterfly or a marsh lava eating a leaf, just let them eat. They won't kill the plant. And it will even put out more leaves and flowers as soon as they cocoon. They are also more resistant to drought than the new variety flowers are. Remember that in order for a plant to be infected for wildlife, it must be a nectar-producing plant. Many of the new pest-resistant varieties do not produce nectar. You may ask, how do I tell if it's a nectar-producing flower or not? Well, what I do is watch the bees and other insects. If they're feeding on a flower, it's producing nectar. If they're staying away from a flower, it isn't producing nectar. These are just a few in the huge number of ways of showing compassion. If you can think of others, I encourage you to share it with other members on the forum. And I'm going to close with this question. What act of compassion have you done today?
Terrific. Thank you, Diana. We'll leave it at that and we can enter into discussions in the forums. I'll put a post for this. Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome.